Well, good morning, brethren. Good morning. Wow, we don't say that too often. Good morning. Well, listen, welcome to the new festival season of great potential and possibilities. How many of us are excited what God has in store for us for this upcoming festival season? You know, this is a time of planning for future growth, brethren, and taking steps in our faith. And to see God's plan unveiled completely before us during the feast, before our very eyes. You know, this is a time to get excited, to get passionate. You know, one of the defining characteristics about Christians should be that we are a people that are perpetually moving forward. You know, pressing on to new commitments, new victories, new depths in our relationship with God and His kingdom. Can we seriously say, brethren, that that's the direction that we're moving in today? You know, we need to be looking forward with great anticipation to this amazing spiritual season, starting today, right now. Today's God's Church begins celebrating a pivotal feast day. As with our Jewish brethren, we celebrate a holy day that they call Rosh Hashanah, or meaning first, or the head of the year, because it begins the Jewish civil year. This biblical feast day, known in Scripture as Yom Terah, not Hashanah, but Yom Terah, or a memorial of blowing of trumpets. And of course, you can read that, as most of you have many times, in Leviticus 23. Now, the Jews keep it primarily as a New Year celebration. How unfortunate, brethren, because it obscures the significance of this day. But surprisingly, the Bible actually explains very little about this particular day, whereas some of the other holy days have long passages devoted to their significance. But the Feast of Trumpets receives only a few verses in Leviticus. Now, we can only probably conclude that God feels that calling it a memorial of blowing in trumpets is enough for us to start beginning to understand its meaning. But be on guard, brethren. Just because Scripture does not give this feast day a big introduction in Leviticus, do not underestimate the importance of this pivotal day. Scripture from Genesis to Revelation is filled with the details of the blowing of trumpets. It took place in the wilderness, in the Promised Land, and its reflection on us today and its role of the future of this world. Let me give you just a few examples where the shofar, as you heard when Mr. Seaver got up here, the shofar of the trumpet was to be blown. It was a call for the people to assemble, especially on God's holy days. The trumpet actually signaled them to proceed or even to halt during their journeys. It was sounded when danger faced the people, or to call men to war. Even during the Roman occupation, brethren, they had to inform the Roman guards of this specific day, so as not to alarm them that there might be some resurrection happening. The trumpet, brethren, or the shofar, was to be blown as a memorial of remembrance. But what were the Israelites, as a matter of fact, what are we supposed to remember? Well, simply put, God's commandments, God's holy days, and most importantly, brethren, that He is our lawgiver, our ruler, our sovereign God. Now, this message holds true today as it did, brethren, in the first century, and it will for all future generations. In 1 Thessalonians, I'm glad they came in because everybody missed that one. But anyways, in 1 Thessalonians, in 4:16, I want to read what Paul writes considering this day. That's in 1 Thessalonians, as soon as I find my notes there. There they are. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, brethren. For the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. You can imagine what that trumpet's going to sound, brethren, if all the dead are going to rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, here we see a time, brethren, when God will finally intervene in the affairs of all of mankind. God's word and his plan are not very popular messages in today's churches of feel-good religion, are they? But God's church, brethren, whether through the airwaves or even in publications, will always turn to the Bible and God's word for the truth. Old and New Testament prophecies describe the coming of the day of the Lord. And it defines the seven trumpets that you can all read about, and probably this time of the year would be a good time to do that. You can read about that in Revelations 8, 9, 10, and 11. You know, here it creates a composite picture of a time of blowing of trumpets, a time when all nations, brethren, and some, unfortunately, unwillingly, will be brought together to be judged by God. The Feast of Trumpets message for all Christians is that the Messiah is returning to establish his kingdom on this earth. But what about you and I? As individuals, do we know why we're here today? Or are we just perpetuating an old Jewish ritual? And do we really believe that there's something special about this day? Well, I think we've already answered that question, because here you sit on the Day of Trumpets. And the very fact that you're here shows that you do believe that this is a special day. So now in my remaining time, what I'd like to do is clarify why we keep this Feast of Trumpets. You know, maybe we need just a simple review for ourselves, or maybe for some of the young people, or those who are attending their first festival season. Maybe you need to know some of this. You know, to do this, what I'd like to do is use the journalistic format of the five W's. Now, everybody knows what that is, right? The five W's. What, why, who, when, where. Okay, I knew you would know that. But the five W's. First one, what is the Feast of Trumpets? Well, first and foremost, it is one of God's appointed feast days, as described, as we all know, in Leviticus 23, verses 23 through 25. And, of course, the whole chapter tells us about the feast days of God. It is the first of the fall holy days. The Feast of Trumpets, brethren, is a part of a special plan that God has for man. It represents a pivotal day of all of humanity. It symbolizes the turning point in our world history. It pictures the complete and eternal changeover for mankind from all the evil perpetuated by Satan to a new age ushered in by a glorious God who has promised and will keep all of his promises in his kingdom. You know, Scripture tells us that that trumpet blast announced the return of Jesus Christ to finally bring, brethren, complete and everlasting peace to all mankind. Two, why do we keep the Feast of Trumpets? Simple answer, because God commands us to. Used to be a bumper sticker that I always enjoyed reading. It said, God said it, I believe it, that's all there is to it. You know, we already know of Leviticus 23, the whole chapter, especially 23 through 25, which is trumpets. Throughout Scripture, God reinforces his holy days, doesn't he? His feast days. Now, for those of us here, which I know is all of us, that have God's Holy Spirit, a clear plan, brethren, has been designed for us to be a part of his kingdom for eternity. This feast day, God wants us to stop to concentrate on its revealed meaning, brethren, and that is the return of Jesus Christ. And as you heard from Mr. Goyke in the opening prayer, the resurrection of the dead, the putting away of that evil that afflicts us on a daily basis, and finally to bring in the beginning of God's kingdom. This is just a little or a brief answer as to why we keep the Feast of Trumpets. Three, who should keep the Feast of Trumpets? After all, it's in the Old Testament. Isn't it just for the Jewish people or the then children of Israel? Well, of course we can answer that. No, of course not. And as we study God's word and our minds are open, we begin to understand that we are the modern descendants and the very spiritual children of Israel. More importantly today, brethren, today's Church of God is the New Testament congregation of Israel. Paul writes something about us in Galatians 3, starting in verse 26. In Galatians 3, verse 26 through 29, he writes something about us. He says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you who were baptized in Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Brethren, that's what Paul writes about us, that we are God's heirs. So let's not forget that God actually created and made the Sabbaths and the holy days for all of mankind. Today, the New Testament Church of God is responsible to be the example to the world how to keep God's way of life. How are we doing? That's a tough one. It may be hard for you to believe, brethren, but our little tiny congregation here is a real bona fide part of God's one true church. So the answer as to who should keep the feast? All of God's people should be keeping the feast. Four, when should we keep the Feast of Trumpets? Well, Scripture again tells us clearly in Leviticus when to keep the Feast of Trumpets. Like the other months, the seventh month, has two names, Tishra, meaning beginning, and Athenium, meaning strong and valiant. Who knows, that might just be referring to the intervention of our supreme, strong, and valiant captain, Jesus Christ. The Feast of Trumpet actually falls on the first day of the Jewish New Year, hence the name Tishra, beginning. There are two different but complementary New Year's days in the calendar. God's beginning, or more accurately, two starting points for the counting of the year. One is, of course, the sacred or religious year, which starts in the springtime with the month of Abib or Nisan. The other is the administrative or financial year, also called the civil year by the Jewish people. And it starts now, today, in the Feast of Trumpets, brethren. It was when all the fall harvests were completed and sold at market, then all were able to attend the fall holy day celebrations. And finally, five, where should we keep the Feast of Trumpets? Well, initially, the Israelites, of course, observed the Feast of Trumpets, or the God's feast days, in the wilderness where the tabernacle was set up. Okay, later it moved to Jerusalem, where they kept it at the temple. Now, because Scripture does not specifically direct us to keep the feast in any particular location, just for organizational purposes, we today in God's church allow the church elders to set the location as to where the feast is kept. And this, of course, is for the convenience, brethren, of the whole body. So in closing, I hope that by quickly answering the five W's, we can get a little better understanding of the importance of keeping God's Feast of Trumpets. Now, for many of us, we've been celebrating this feast for many years. But even so, We must be on guard, brethren, not to take this feast day for granted, but to think deeply about the details, the meaning, and the symbolism behind God's holy days. As for those of you who have just found your first love, always anticipate and prepare for God's feast days with eagerness, with joy. As for the rest of us, you know, we need to be renewing our first love with God continually. From Linda and I, we pray that your feast year this year will be blessed and joyful.